Now the epistle appointed to be read for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain even till now. And not only in it, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing. But at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished at all and all that were with him at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus himself was beginning about the age of 30 years, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. Words taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today, as I said, is the fourth Sunday after the Pentecost, but it is also Father's Day today. And thus, I would like to depart from today's epistle and gospel and speak to you about fathers. Each year, during the month of June, on the third Sunday, we honor our earthly fathers. And we should, because of the many sacrifices that they make or have made for us. We all have our reasons to be grateful to our fathers. And while we should and must express such gratitude to them at times by means of material gifts, still we must never forget that the greatest gift that we can give to our father is the unfailing love, respect, and gratitude of our hearts. In other words, the material gifts that we give to our fathers must come from our hearts. Otherwise, they are empty and meaningless. And the gifts, then, we offer today to our fathers must be true expressions of the great love and respect we bear them in our hearts. Such love and respect, however, is not merely expressed in words and material gifts, but even more in deeds. And by this I mean, my dear friends, that for children still living under the care of their fathers, they must respect and obey them. That is, they must never show anger or impatience to their fathers, nor raise their voices to them or talk back to them. But rather, they must always speak respectfully to them and of them to others, even as they obey their fathers by a prompt, a cheerful, and an exact obedience. But for the rest of us, we are bound by the fourth commandment of God to respect our fathers, no matter how old they may be or we may be. We are thus bound to be kind to them and patient towards them as they grow older and eventually succumb to the many infirmities of body and mind in this world. We must as well assist them in their needs and see to it that they are provided for bodily and spiritually. But if, God forbid, our father is not leading so virtuous a life, or our father does not have the one true Catholic faith or has fallen away from it, he still has a claim to our respect, and most especially to our prayers and sacrifices. Or if our fathers have passed into eternity, let us not cease to love them and be grateful to them. But let us pray for them daily and even have masses offered for the repose of their souls. Now, among all earthly fathers who have ever lived, Saint Joseph is indeed the greatest, and thus he is the special patron of all fathers. Saint Joseph, however, was not the natural father of the God-man Jesus Christ. To even suggest such a thing is heresy and blasphemy. He was the true spouse of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the true mother of Christ, and thus the true mother of God. But he was not the natural father of Christ. Saint Joseph was the foster father of Jesus Christ. And he was chosen from all eternity by God the Father to be the foster father of his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, and the protector and the provider for Mary, the Mother of God. And although Saint Joseph was indeed a prince by birth, being a descendant of King David, God rather prepared him for his sublime vocation in the humble trade of a carpenter, and by Saint Joseph's perseverance in daily prayer and the constant practice of virtue. A certain priest wrote of Saint Joseph, "The child committed to his care was the greatest of all sons. And yet Saint Joseph considered himself to be the least among men and unworthy of the great honor bestowed upon him by God. He was the protector of the God-man whose creature he was. He had our divine Lord as his subject, and yet this subject was infinitely superior to him." How often this priest writes, he held God in his arms, even as God held him in existence. He lived in the presence of infinite wisdom, and yet this priest writes, he was often left, so to speak, in the dark as to why things happened the way they did. St. Joseph, he concludes, cared for the source of all consolation, and yet he experienced the most crushing sorrows. He lived in the heavenly company of Jesus and Mary, and yet his tremendous trials proved that he was not yet in heaven. And what trials, my dear friends, he endured. The sudden journey to Bethlehem, the unexpected flight into Egypt, to name a few. Let alone the daily toil at Nazareth, he endured for the love of Jesus and Mary. At Nazareth, as the supposed father of Christ, as St. Luke puts it in the Gospel, he was nonetheless the head of the Holy Family. He thus arose each morning to do his work, to provide for the material and temporal well-being of Jesus and Mary. He worked hard to provide them with the necessities of life, as our husbands and fathers must go to work and often work hard to provide for their wives and children the material necessities of life. St. Joseph led the family in daily prayer, as the fathers of our families ought to do each day if possible. Lead the family in the daily rosary. Lead the family in their devotions to the Sacred Heart, and lead the family in grace before and after meals. St. Joseph brought Jesus and Mary to the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day of each week, and then to the great temple in Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. As the fathers of our families are responsible to ensure that their wives and their children attend Mass on Sundays and holy days and are able to receive the sacraments frequently. And like St. Joseph, how often the fathers of our families are faced with the little trials of life and at times very heavy crosses and sorrows. But like St. Joseph, they too must faithfully fulfill their duties and bear their crosses with a loving patience and holy resignation to God's will. How Catholic fathers then must, like St. Joseph, be courageous today, be patient and persevering. For to be a father of a family today takes courage. To work hard and provide for a family takes courage. To defend and safeguard children as much as is possible from the impurities and the immodesties of the world takes great courage. And in our world today, which is characterized by the spirit of the devil, that is by rebellion against authority, especially the authority of parents, so that many parents in the world today are often fearful to discipline their children properly. How much courage and patience a Catholic father must have to properly discipline his children and to instruct them in what is right and what is wrong. How courageous, my dear friends, must a Catholic father be today? How courageous we all must be if we will persevere in our belief in and our practice of the one true Catholic faith. On this Father's Day, we pray that our Catholic fathers ever strive to follow the blessed example of St. Joseph, praying to him for guidance each day and the grace to persevere in the midst of their many crosses and to be faithful to the duties of their state in life as he was, ever confident in the mercy and the goodness of the Sacred Heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.